Coming up on episode 17 of the ARP Podcast, we continue our series on exploring Shiny and the community of Shiny developers, as I sit down with Vincent Nice, who's developed a very comprehensive Shiny application called Radiant. And we're going to talk all about how he got started using R and some of the motivations and development process for creating Radiant and his ideas for the future direction. So let's get going with this episode. I just have one question, of course. Are you ready? Everybody, this is episode 17 of the ARP Podcast. I am your host, Eric Nance, and this is still continuing our track of exploring the Shiny package for web application development, and in particular, the community of Shiny developers that have done such excellent things. So before we get into our interview with Vincent, I'll just mention that I've received a lot of helpful feedback from many of you in terms of having some issues subscribing to the podcast using the newer versions of the feeds that I have on the our podcast site. So obviously this is such a kind of nuisance to have to deal with. So I've actually spent some time and tried to figure out what was a good way to kind of guarantee that most podcatching, you know, clients can actually get the episodes delivered safely and reliably. So I did put a short post on the ARP Podcast site. Actually, I worked on this the night before. I'm taping this part now. And I have basically decided to also host the episodes of the podcast on a service called SoundCloud, which I've seen a few other podcasts start to use. In particular, one of the newer podcasts out there in the statistics, you know, area is the Not So Standard Deviations podcast with Roger Pang and Hillary Parker, and they've been using that service, and of course they're on iTunes now as well. So I just figured, well, I could keep trying to plug away with this kind of custom solution I've had in terms of the site, and in particular, if I could somehow figure out how to do the RSS feeds reliably. But I figure, you know what, it's not worth it. And if I can just use this with SoundCloud, why not? Then another benefit will be that hopefully by the time you're hearing this, this will also fix the whole iTunes feed being missing, so that many of our listeners are, of course, using iTunes, so that you'll be able to subscribe on that as well. So I didn't want to really belabor this too much, but I wanted to make sure that those of you that have tried to subscribe to the podcast since I relaunched it, that I've heard your feedback, and I'm doing what I can to make sure that there's no, you know, hiccups to subscribing to the new episodes, since there's a lot of exciting content coming our way. So enough of that tangent. Let's go ahead and dive into our main topic for today, our interview with Vincent Nice. All right, welcome back, everybody. As I am recording this, it is day one, just wrapped up, of the Shiny Developer Conference, and it has been a very interesting day. We've all learned a lot of great material, but I've now had the chance to sit down with one of the leading members of the community in terms of really showing me pretty early on just the kind of power you can achieve with developing a Shiny application that's a very kind of comprehensive analytical platform. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guest for today's episode, Vincent Nigis.
Nice.
Yeah, Vincent Nice. Yeah, I knew I was going to screw that up. But welcome to the ARP Podcast, Vincent.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Great. So why don't we just start off with telling our listeners who may have not been familiar with your work a little bit about your background and how you got started using R.
Okay. So I work at the Rady School of Management, the business school. And I got my PhD in marketing, marketing methods, marketing research. And so I kind of self-taught and programming, just working with larger and larger data sets over time. Mm-hmm. And so I started out with Gauss and Aux and MATLAB, and then tried Python for a while, and eventually decided that R was probably going to be the most convenient platform for me to use. Mm-hmm. So I've been using that for a number of years, and that's kind of my background, how I got into R.
Cool. Now, that was an interesting, background to get into it. Did you have any background at all in kind of web development stuff beforehand, or?
Well, so I have my own pet peeves about how I like things to work. And so when I started my first job as a professor at the Kellogg School of Management, they had, I think it was Blackboard at the time.
Oh, yes.
I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. Or something like it. Sure. And I disliked that with a vengeance. And so, you know, that's just really not convenient. And so I started out with something in PHP. And looked at Ruby on Rails for a bit, and then eventually developed a site in Python and Django.
Oh, okay.
So always kind of server side, never really did much client side other than just some minimal tweaking. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of what I started out with. And so in many ways, I'm a poster user for Shiny, because mm-hmm. you can do a lot of stuff with minimal knowledge of HTML and JavaScript.
Right, so right.
I think that's part of the things that really appealed. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of stuff without needing, you know, deep knowledge about how JavaScript works and sure. how HTML necessarily structured. So
yeah. That's interesting. And it's funny you mentioned the Python and the Django framework. Our podcast site that I have up now is based on a Python package where it basically compiles the markdown I write for the site posts, mm-hmm. and with a little configuration and stuff, it renders the site in a static way, so I don't have like a database behind or anything like that.
Right.
Ironically, I have to learn a bit about Python right now, because apparently the way I do the RSS feeds for the podcast episode is not playing nice with some of the podcatching software. So I have a new perspective on people that are new to like a software, you know, package or a language, and how it sometimes can be difficult to get up and running. But anyway, that's a tangent for another time. So obviously we touch on Shiny, of course, and as I kind of mentioned in the intro, the way I got familiar with your work was the work you've done with the Radiant application. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested, since I've been looking at it so closely, I'm interested in how you got started building the application and kind of what was the motivation around, you know, creating it.
Sure. So I taught a class on research methods for a long time to MBA students at the business school. And we used SPSS for that. So there was multiple different faculty members were teaching that class. I mean, it was at the Kellogg Business School, and it's a really big MBA program. Mm-hmm. So multiple people teaching different sections of it. And, you know, it worked okay. But there was always certain things that were difficult to do. You know, we wanted to do something with multidimensional scaling and perceptual mapping, and then you'd have to run a factor analysis in SPSS and then take the output and then go to Excel and create a plot there. And then at some point we wrote a little macro to make that a little easier to do, but you know, it was never really a one-stop shop, if you will, right? So it had the algorithms in the background that you could estimate stuff with, but then the actual plots or things that you wanted to do with those to make, you know, better business decisions. That's kind of what the class was focused on. Not so much just the methods, but
okay. How
do you take the output and then make better decisions using that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you then have to go through 3-4 different steps to get from some output in a statistical package that you don't know to, you know, it just wasn't very convenient.
Yeah.
And so you spend a lot more time talking about, well, how do you do this than how do you use it, right? As mm-hmm. in for the decision-making part.
Right.
And so I'd used that for a while, and then I moved from Northwestern to the Rady School of Management in San Diego.
Okay.
At UCSD.
Yep.
And at some point I thought, you know what, it'd be nice to have something that's based on R. But our MBA students, very smart, but there's variance in terms of their level of experience with programming.
Sure.
And so, you know, an MBA is a kind of a general purpose business education. So there's some technical classes, but also lots of less technical classes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you could teach them some programming in a class or two, but unless they're going to use that regularly, I don't think they're going to get strong enough that they'll be able to use it on a day-to-day basis in their jobs.
I see.
And so I thought, you know what? There needs to be some type of front end for that. So I had a TA at the time, and she kind of took a closer look at some of the packages that were out there, and I honestly wasn't a big fan of most of them. Just also in terms of the looks and stuff. I don't know even what the toolkits are that some of them are based on, but
okay.
So the one that I started out with was called the Deducer.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. Yeah,
which is actually very nice, but there was a JavaScript. Sorry, not a JavaScript, a Java-based interface to that.
Yes,
and that was actually what I had most trouble with across platforms.
Ah.
And so, you know, on Mac and on Windows. And so as soon as I basically finished the quarter, I developed it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
A colleague of mine said, hey, have you seen Shiny? And I really should have seen that before, right? So it was brand spanking new at the time.
Okay.
But wow, this is fantastic. I just saw so many different opportunities in education based on that.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I started developing it, and they started adding features that I wish had been there from the start. But yeah, so it's basically turned into a reasonably large collection of different methods that are relevant for a business application.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's other tools too, but if you look at, you know, let's say Estata, there's a ton of stuff in there, but none of it's geared towards business applications. Right? So sure. If you look at the help files, you know, there's lots of stuff. If you're an epidemiologist or something like that, there's tools specifically for you.
Yeah.
But none of it's geared for business. And so that was my kind of focus. I wanted something that would be relatively easy for them to use, that, you know, the help files focus on business applications. So mm-hmm. it's easier for them to have a context to evaluate stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see the output that I think is important for their applications and not 53 other statistics that they're never going to use.
Yeah. Okay.
So and kind of I developed it from there. So I, you know, for different classes and things. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very comprehensive app. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in, as you were kind of starting to use this in your classes,
mm-hmm.
what was the reception like from both your fellow colleagues in the department, but also among your students when they first started using it? Was there any resistance or was there, you know, a lot of optimism about it, or how would that work?
I think, you know, there's always a student or two who are, would like to use a commercial package or would prefer to do everything in Excel.
Yeah.
But, you know, Excel's just not geared for kind of the current world for bigger data sets and a variety of different computations. And so you can add, you know, do plugins and things like that to some extent, but it just doesn't get you there. So R has so much power in this space for doing so many different things, but it's kind of hard to harness it unless you're really good at programming.
Sure.
And so kind of pulling the stuff together that's relevant for them without the stuff that's not, I think they've really enjoyed that. The interactivity, I think, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can change one thing and immediately see what that does to variance inflation factors or, you know, how that influences the residual plots, right? So they change one thing and they see all this different output coming out.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, I get it. Because they can visualize things much easier. It's much quicker. So yeah, overall, I think it's been very positive. My colleagues have embraced it, not in every department, but I think we're getting there. We're getting there.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Well, I mean, sometimes when you have new frameworks like this, it's not overnight that everybody's on board with it and things like that. Well,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of parts that we could talk about in terms of what the app actually does mm-hmm. in terms of the features. I do want to hone on one thing, because when I first saw it and I saw you implement this, I'm like, if there's one thing I'm going to take away from this, it's got to be this feature.
Okay.
That is the how you load and save the application state.
Right.
Because up until before I saw Radiant, I never seen anybody try this.
Mm-hmm.
But can you tell me a little bit about when you got the idea to do something like that, and then kind of your development process for building a feature like that into a Shiny app?
Right. Yeah. So this was, as soon as I started on this and realized what I wanted to do, which was not going to be just a couple of clicks and then, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be something where students would come in, load data, you know, manage it, transform it, visualize it, and then do analysis, and then go back to some other parts, and kind of they could be working on an assignment for an hour or a couple hours, and then maybe have to come back to it later again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So plus, of course, wanted it that if they do an assignment, then there should be some output that they can refer back to later.
Right.
And so as soon as I realized that, you know, if you hit, I don't know, some other, you know, you accidentally close the browser or you go someplace else, right, you click on that, then all of a sudden all your stuff is gone. Okay, my students are just going to go through the roof if that happens.
Sure.
So I started thinking about ways to kind of fix that. And I thought of something that was actually very simple, which is just as soon as a shiny session stops, you have an opportunity to do some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is to save stuff like the input or data or whatever it is. And I just decided to just save stuff to a list and store that. And then when you load it back up, there's basically only a small function call. Instead of setting the value of an input, like a numeric input, say, you just call a function. And that function checks whether there's already a state value available. Okay. And if it is, use that. Otherwise, set it to some initial value that you specify. And that seemed very simple to me. I initially thought that must not be the best way to do it. But I talked to Joe about it at some point from our studio, and he said, oh, that's actually how I would do it too.
Oh,
like, oh, cool. Wow, fantastic.
That's an endorsement, isn't it?
Yes, it is. He had some ideas to improve it, of course. So he was able to help me out with putting like a session ID into the URL.
Oh.
And so with that, you can actually do some stuff that's nice on a server where you could take the URL with a session ID, give it to somebody else, and they would basically access the app with the exact same state that you've been working on. So it's not live, like how you can do chat and somebody would see immediately what you've changed, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I can store my state, send somebody that link, and they can see exactly where it was, mm-hmm. right? Including the tab, the settings, everything. And then, of course, just saving it to a local file, and then when you want to revisit it or share it with somebody else who wants to be able to reproduce and see what you did,
right?
Or an instructor who wants to grade their students' work, right? Yeah. I can see exactly what they did and what they didn't do.
Oh, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's been very convenient. I can't imagine not having that feature. I'd honestly still like somebody at our studio to kind of take that on and make it kind of a standard part of their framework. So I'm sure you could still do it more efficiently. But yeah, I think that's, I can't imagine having a larger Shiny app where, again, you could be on there for a longer time that, you know, you wouldn't, you just have to have some way to save state. And so we saw a really nice application of that today with Shiny URL.
Yes, I'm intrigued by that.
Which I think for smaller applications works very well because it just puts the inputs into the URL itself.
Right, right.
Which is great. And easy to share with somebody else so they can recreate what you're doing.
Yes.
But if you have multiple data sets, transform data sets, lots of different inputs, I mean, overall, there's, you know, hundreds of inputs, and you could have, you know, however many data sets your memory can hold inside of Radiant. And
right.
So I don't see how you can't share that.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas it doesn't, the state,
it doesn't scale as well as kind of the situation.
No, but I think it's kind of interesting to see the announcement around modules, which we're going to talk about at the conference tomorrow.
Right, right.
That they were all somewhat surprised about the size of the apps that people were wanting to build. And so if you're just doing a relatively small kind of application with, you know, a couple tabs and a couple inputs, you know, Shiny URL is probably the way you want to do it, because it's very dynamic and it's probably very easy to set up. But once you get to, you know, more data sets and more different analyses, and people could actually be working for a longer time, yeah, I think probably something like what I do is probably very useful.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people are going to be emulating that if they haven't already.
Right.
Myself included, actually. So one interesting part around this whole process is obviously you've put the code for Radiant and even made a package out of it. And
that's right.
You've got it on GitHub so everybody can see it. I'm curious, when you released it on GitHub and up to this point, have there been any features or suggestions that the community has provided outside of your students that you've been able to kind of incorporate into the Radiant versions that you have now?
There's been a few requests, but mainly about how to make it easier to extend.
I see.
Right. And so basically the app currently has four modules. So it's the what I call the base module, which has you know, loading, visualizing, transforming, tabulating, combining, like merging data. And so that's actually a part that's called in all the other applications. Right? So it's not duplicate, it's actually just a component that you kind of pull in. And, you know, I know how to get it pulled into my other applications, but I'm, And I need to talk to some people at our studio about how I would ideally make that available as a module, as a package, that somebody then could just say, hey, you know what, I'm just, you know, source whatever, or library, yeah, you know, Radiant Base or something. And then that's just part of your app.
Right.
And you
right.
can call into it. And I've thought about that off and on, but never got around to really giving it serious thought and serious work because, sure, you know, it's a one-man show at the moment.
Yeah, right.
But so I'm actually hoping to talk to some folks from our studio tomorrow and see if they have any suggestions on how to do that.
Yeah.
My ideal is, so I actually made an organization, I guess, on GitHub.
Oh, cool.
Which has me only as the member at the moment. Oh, okay. But again, the idea there was, if I can break up Radiant into modules, where one of them would be the kind of the base component, mm-hmm, and then somebody who's working in, you know, biotech or you know, just pure statistics or whatever area it might be, can take parts of that and then make their own adaptation of, let's say, some other module. Like I have it's for a class I teach on quantitative analysis, which has a lot of statistics in it. But you could take some of that, adapt it. But then what I'd like it to be, of course, is that there's like a repository where people make their own adaptations and host them in the same spot, right, so that we can all learn from each other.
Yeah, that's right.
Key, about different,
right,
ways to do, mm-hmm, different things. And then rather than somebody just forking it and then developing their own and then making it hard to kind of, yeah, take the learnings from different people back into the kind of the base.
Right.
So that's my longer term vision for it. I hope, mm-hmm, that other people, I mean, I'm sure that in statistics, like a statistics 101 or even more advanced topics, you could use this as a way to get students excited, mm-hmm, and then say, okay, and now let's dig into the code or the algorithms of how this is actually done. Right. So it's more of a kind of a top down rather than necessarily a bottom up approach, which I think works well with a lot of students. If they just start with the math and then you have to tell them, well, just trust me for now, you know, in 30 weeks or 30, you know, three quarters, then you'll understand why you need all this. Right? You know, for some people that works fantastic, for, sure, others it doesn't. So I'm more on the let's sell the thing first and then I can show you how it really works and what things you have to take into account. So anyway, that's long story short. I'm hoping that that's ultimately going to be what will happen, is that I can break it up into modules and that people can take parts of those and add new modules and we can all learn from each other and kind of make a better application for doing statistical analysis and machine learning in R.
Right. Well, I think it's as more people, you know, you get their hands on it, I think that's a goal that's going to be achieved. Right. Question is when and also how that's implemented. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in learning more tomorrow about how modules can help us with a lot of these goals.
So I'm actually a bit worried about that one, because if it really is as good an idea as it sounds, that might actually be a great way to structure larger apps.
Right.
Again, I'm curious how it would work with packages. I mean, I think Shiny hasn't really been set up to work as a package. I mean, it's supposed to be an app that you run with run app.
Sure.
As opposed to an actual package itself.
Sure. Right.
So finding ways to kind of distribute that and kind of incorporate it where, again, you just do something like source or whatever and it's just now it's part of your app too.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic, right? Because then people don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can kind of focus on adding those components that are important, mm-hmm, for their line of work or their company or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So, but if modules is as good as it sounds like, then I'll probably be faced with a lot of extra work to kind of recode and stuff. So, we'll see how that goes. Actually, you know, we're starting a Master of Science in Business Analytics at my school in fall. And one thing I hope is that I'll have time to clean up the app enough that when we teach our students about how to use Shiny for business applications and business support tools, mm-hmm, they'll be able to take some of this and look at it and say, you know what, that's a good model for them to work off of.
Right.
That's the plan anyway.
Well, I know I'll be a curious observer, and I'm sure many others as well. Ian mentioned, you know, interacting with Joel Chang on some various parts of the development process. I thought it was really interesting that I can't remember when this happened, but Radiant has actually now been featured on the gallery user, mm-hmm, showcase of Shiny apps. So can you tell me a little bit how some of those interactions came about with the RStudio team and how that's been helpful and kind of your learning of Shiny and of course the development of Radiant?
You know? Right. Yeah. No. So I mean, when I think Shiny was still in alpha, I was using it. Mm-hmm. So I had lots and lots of questions because I mean the reactivity model, as I'm sure anybody who starts out with with Shiny or just reactive programming in general, it's a little different, right?
Yes.
It takes a little while to wrap your head around. I mean, what do you mean I can't call something with parameters, right? How does that work exactly? So it's still something that, you know, is difficult to wrap your head around at times. But Joe and Winston and Yuhui has been, you know, incredibly helpful, you know, around the saving and loading state. You know, I had some questions about different ways to do that and, you know, great, fantastic suggestions about how to improve stuff. So the RStudio actually kind of gives me a discounted rate or whatever. Another thing, it's a free account, but with more resources on
More resources,
to kind
I
of
see. Yeah,
host,
yeah.
host Radiant on ShinyApps.io.
Cool.
Kind of as, because it's, I mean, they're interested, of course, in showcasing their work as well. And
sure.
So
the mutually beneficial then. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So I still have lots of ideas for things that they could do. So I'm hoping to corner some more people tomorrow and see, you know, things they could work on, but
right.
Just the tools that they've developed, like, you know, DT that, Yuhui has worked on.
Yes.
It's just a fantastic way to kind of tabulate data. And I've used that in numerous different spots
mm-hmm.
to create, you know, pivot tables and summary tables and stuff like that. Not just to visualize data. Works fantastically well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the drag and drop feature with Selectize, which was not initially a part of Shiny. You know, I was talking to Yuhui about that in an email. It's like, oh yeah, that should definitely be in Shiny. And like next day, he's got that implemented in there. It's like fantastic, right? So that I don't have to pull in, you know, JavaScript libraries from somewhere.
Right, right.
They're just fantastic guys.
Yeah.
And so I'm very happy that they're there. And some of the stuff that they presented today, like Shiny gadgets that Hadley presented, they're just coming out with fantastic new stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole pipeline of data analysis, their tools are just making it so much easier than
yep.
I've been using R for, what was it, 11, 12 years now. And mm-hmm. man, I had to cook a lot of things kind of together in my head and cobble things together. But if yeah. someone that's starting R now, I mean, the ecosystem's so much friendlier, and obviously they're at probably the forefront of making these tools available for us.
Absolutely.
To use.
And of course, you know, the whole Hadleyverse,
yes.
you know, the dplyrs, the ggplots, tidyr, you know, you name it. They've just made a fantastic, have had a fantastic impact on kind of the usefulness and the power of R. And I
yes.
think that they're very, very influential in terms of how much more rapidly R is being adopted in firms and companies, right?
Right,
so
right.
That's to their advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think obviously great things are ahead of them. And as we've seen in the conference so far today, there's so much engagement on what they're doing. And they're definitely getting feedback as well from us on how we're using it in day-to-day usage.
That's
and
right.
It sounds like they got some ideas for improvements that, you know, hopefully down the road we'll all be able to benefit from. So I would say from your perspective, obviously we talk about how useful the tools from RStudio are to a new user of R. If someone was coming to you that wanted to learn R, what kind of advice would you give them if, you know, to get them up to speed quicker?
Right, right. So I actually put a little, in the documentation site that's on for Radiant, that's on GitHub.
Yeah.
I just put some links together with different things for them to look at.
Okay.
And so I mean, that sounds a bit bad, but I wouldn't actually start with just base R. I would go straight to ggplot and dplyr, right? And so those would probably
I'm hearing
be...
that more and more, actually, so I'm not sure how bad that sounds, because I think, you know, some things in base R are so cryptic that it's hard to really wrap your head around how they work, you know? I know some people have different opinions on
yeah.
that, but...
I mean, so, like I said, you're absolutely right. So people have different opinions about how you could approach things, and obviously we all owe a big debt of gratitude to the people who developed R.
Yes.
Right. But that said, there's so many different ways in which you could do things. And given the power that's available through dplyr to kind of manipulate and reorganize your data, you know, if somebody's new to R, that would be the first thing I would tell them. It's just
right.
go learn dplyr. Right. And then look at ggplot and Shiny, to be honest.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, those would be hands down the three that I would start with.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if you can wrap your head around that, you can kind of learn the other parts of R syntax, and of
sure.
course Magritte. So I mean that's
right.
part of it.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine how to write code without pipes anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, I probably overdo it here and there. But
well.
it's just such a nice way, and you don't have to think. this may sound really simple, but just thinking about variable names and how to call stuff in a logical way.
Yes.
And
yes.
how you're able to avoid so much of that just by using pipes.
Right.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah. I think the readability it gives you, that not only for others maybe reviewing your code, mm-hmm. but you yourself, like 2 years later, if you have to go back to it.
Yes.
I think the pipe is more translatable than like a whole bunch of nested parentheses or a bunch of temp variables that you have, like temp1, temp2, or whatever.
That's right.
This avoids all of that. And ironically, there's even more than one package that does pipes. I mean, Magruder, of course, is the biggest one. But there's the Piper package that does its own take on it. So there's even choice on that side of it, too. So lots of opportunities for people to use all that framework. Yeah, so this has been really fascinating to kind of get to know your mindset on approaching these things. Mm-hmm. For our listeners that are interested in, you know, keeping up with the kind of work you're doing, what are the best ways to kind of keep tabs on what you're up to?
Check out the GitHub site.
Okay.
So there's also the GH pages. What do you call that? Well, the GH pages part of the repo.
Of it, right.
Right. Yeah. So that's where I try to keep the documentation as up to date as possible.
Okay.
But so I'm actually teaching a new class this quarter on customer analytics, and so I'm expanding. Adding a bunch of tools, neural networks, decision trees,
mm-hmm.
Right? So different tools that we're going to need in that particular space, and so it's still expanding quite rapidly.
Cool.
So, and then so like I said, next year we're starting. This fall we're starting on the new MSBA program. So mm-hmm. Going to be a lot of adaptations for that as well.
Sure. So, well, definitely.
So a lot more to keep working on.
Yeah, it never ends sometimes, but it sounds
seems that way.
Yeah, but big things are in store, and we're hopefully going to take a lot of the lessons we're learning today and put them in practice our future development. Well, part of me being here this weekend, one of my motivations is like getting to know the community of people around this, and in talking with you, I feel like I'm really excited to see where you're going with this, and mm-hmm. you've already given me some good advice for my personal app that I'm working on. I'm going to take you up on some of the concepts we talked about and hopefully share some code back and forth to improve our apps down the road. But definitely, Vincent, thank you so much for joining me today. And definitely I'll be seeing you again tomorrow, obviously. But best of luck with the continued development of Radiant and the rest of your career going forward. So
thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, everyone, we'll be back right after this. All right, so that was a really entertaining chat, and I've actually was talking with Vincent quite a bit during the conference. He and I definitely have a lot in common in terms of our of course we're passionate about R and where we want to take our respective applications with Shiny in terms of what we're up to. We definitely had an interesting day that day. I was to make a funny story out of this. We were going to basically a dinner that we had arranged for us for all the attendees, and we had a good time chatting with everybody there. And then the bus took us back to the university where the conference was held, and I had rented a car down here just to help get around a little easier in case the weather was a little rough. And then when the bus dropped us off, we were trying to figure out, since it was kind of dark out, where we were in terms of where I parked, and we kind of went almost across campus where we figured out, wait, we better go the other way. And I used my phone on Google Maps to reorient myself, and it just he was very nice to put up with my lack of direction. So we had a good time to chat about all sorts of stuff during this. So I just want to thank Vincent for taking the time to talk with me. And by the time we actually did the interview, it had been, obviously a very productive day, but a long day. So we were just happy that once we wrapped up that we just got some rest after that. But anyway, it was a very entertaining conversation. And I'm going to be keeping in touch with Vincent as I work on some of my apps that I've been taking some of the ideas that he's had with Radiant and trying to kind of do some custom things on my side for my particular needs. But I think he and I have a good chance to collaborate together on some other ideas in the future. So I don't have a lot of feedback to get to in terms of listener feedback for this episode, and I think I'll just kind of put a bow on this one, and I'll definitely mention that the episodes coming up, I think, are going to be really enjoyable. I'm really excited to get that content out to you guys, and just interacting with the other developers at the Shiny Developer Conference. It's been so cool to put faces with the names of people that you've either used their apps or their packages for, and it's just been really cool to have that camaraderie, and the energy that we've had during the conference has just been, it's just been infectious, and I wish I could experience this like more than just once a year. And whoever, I mean, they're obviously going to do it again next year, I think, but it's just so cool to finally be at an R conference and be around other R programmers that, or developers that like it as much as I do. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up of episode 17, and definitely thanks a lot for everybody that listened in and continue to send the feedback as always through the multiple channels we have, such as the contact page on www.r-podcast.org/contact. You can also comment on this episode's post directly via the discuss commenting system. And also, you can just send me a straight email at thercast@gmail.com. So again, thanks a lot, everybody, and until next time.
End of line.